Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh, Perek Aleph. Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh have a special place within Sefer Zmanim and in the Mishneh Torah as a whole. Of its 19 prakim, only the first five have the familiar format of summarizing and organizing halachot discussed in the Gemara. These prakim are about the procedures of Kiddush HaChodesh, Beit Din sanctifying the month based on testimony of witnesses who saw the new moon, and Ibur Shana, adding a month to the year every few years, for reasons we'll learn very soon. The following five prakim, prakim Vav through Yud, explain the rules which govern the fixed calendar that we use nowadays. These only came into being at the end of the period of the Gemara, and most were only codified in their final form during the period of the Gaonim. Finally, the last nine prakim of Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh are about astronomy, and we'll understand their purpose by the end of today's perek. Because of the abstruse nature of this material, especially the astronomical details which are not accessible to the uninitiated, Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh were studied and commented upon much less than the rest of Sefer Zmanim. In the typical printing of the Mishneh Torah, the letters of Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh appear in a smaller font, so as to fit these halachot into fewer pages, and the commentaries of the Magen Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah, which have accompanied our study of Sefer Zmanim, are not to be found. We have the Lecha Mishnah on the first three prakim, but the main commentary printed on both sides of the halachot themselves is simply called Perush, or Mefarish, written by the unknown Ovadia ben David. We'll use these limited resources, as well as modern-day commentaries like the Shekel HaKodesh by Rav Chaim Kanievsky and the Yad Pshuta by Rav Nachum Rabinovich, to help guide us through this especially challenging set of halachot. Perek Aleph starts us off with a general introduction to the Jewish calendar, and to the one mitzvah in Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh, which really consists of three distinct parts, as we'll see at the end of the perek. Halacha Aleph. Chodshei Hashana hein Chodshei HaLevana. Shnemar olat chodesh bechodsho, v'nemar ha-chodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodashim. Kach amru chachamim, hera lo ha-kadosh baruch hu le-moshe b'mar'e ha-nevua demut levana, v'amar lo kazeh re'e v'kadesh. V'ashanim sh'anu mechashvim heim shnei hachama, shnemar shamor et chodesh haviv. Aside from the 24-hour daily rotation of the earth around its axis, there are two astronomical cycles relevant for the calendar. The revolution of the moon around the earth determines a month. This is about 29 and a half days. And the revolution of the earth around the sun determines a year. The duration of a year, 365 and a quarter days, is not exactly equal to any whole number of months, which is why many calendars base themselves on one of these two cycles at the expense of the other. The secular, or Christian, calendar with which we are familiar has a solar year, and each month is just approximately 1/12 of a year, with no relation to the cycle of the moon. In contrast, the Muslim calendar has lunar months, and a year just consists of 12 of these, which comes out significantly shorter than a solar year. But the Jewish calendar must have both a lunar month and a solar year. The month is called a chodesh, from the root chadash, because the month begins when something, that is the moon, renews itself, in the sense that we'll learn in Halacha Gimel. This definition of month is seen in the pasuk Olat Chodesh Bechodsho, about the Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. The word Bechodsho means in its renewal, meaning that Rosh Chodesh takes place when the new moon begins to appear. And when Hashem tells Moshe, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, the word Hazeh implies something visible to the eye, meaning the new moon. The Midrash on that pasuk adds that Hashem told Moshe, Kazeh re'e v'kadesh, sanctify the new month by initiating it when the new moon appears, and this is the origin of the term Kiddush HaChodesh. And how do we know that the year must be a solar year? From the pasuk of Shamor et Chodesh Haviv ve'asita Pesach, which implies that the holiday of Pesach must take place during the spring, Aviv, when the grain ripens and begins to be harvested. The seasons and their agricultural characteristics depend on the solar year. Halacha bet. V'kama yitera shnata chama al shnata levana, karov me'achad asar yom. לפיכך, כשהתקבץ מן התוספת הזאת כמו 30 יום, או פחות מעט או יותר מעט, מוסיפים חודש אחד, ועושים אותה שנה 13 חודש, והיא נקראת שנה מעוברת, שאי אפשר להיות השנה 12 חודש וכך וכך ימים, שנאמר לחודשי השנה. חודשים אתה מונה לשנה, ואין אתה מונה ימים. The length of the solar year is about 11 days longer than a lunar year, that is, 12 lunar months. We'll see much more exact measurements in Perek Vav. Since these don't align that well, maybe we can just end a year in the middle of a month, and immediately start the next year in the middle of the same month. In this way, we can have a calendar which has two entirely different tracks, months and years, whose starting and ending points don't need to align. This possibility is ruled out by the pasuk of Rishon hu lachem lechodshei hashana, the last two words implying that a year must consist of a whole number of months, with no leftover days. So the only way to combine lunar months and a solar year is to wait until the deficit of 11 days each year adds up to a month, and then add an extra month to the end of that year. This longer year is called a shana meuberet, or a pregnant year. Since a month is 29 and a half days, which is somewhere between 2 and 3 times the annual deficit of 11 days, there will always be either 2 or 3 years between one shana meuberet and the next one. This is essentially how shana meuberet works in the fixed calendar we use now. But we'll learn in Perek Dalid that when Ibur Shana was done by Beitin, there were very specific indicators which were used to determine if a month needed to be added to the year. Halacha Gimel. Halavana nisteret b'chol chodesh v'chodesh v'ina nir'eit kamo shnei yamim o pachot o yater. Kamo yom achad kodem shetidbak b'shemesh b'sof ha'chodesh, u'chmo yom achad achar shetidbak b'shemesh. V'tera'e b'ma'arav b'erev. U'velel shetera'e b'erev achar shenistera, הוא תחילת החודש, ומונין מאותו היום 29 יום, ואם יראה הירח הליל 30, יהיה יום 30 ראש החודש, ואם לא יראה, יהיה ראש החודש יום 1 ו-30, ויהיה יום 30 מחודש שעבר, ואין נזקקין לירח בליל 1 ו-30, בין שנראה, בין שלא נראה, שאין לך חודש לבנה יתר על 30 יום. Unlike the sun, the moon is a ball of rock which does not emit any light of its own. We only see the moon because of sunlight reflecting off it toward Earth. And so how much of it we see depends on the relative positions of the Earth, the moon, and the sun. Hence, the orbit of the moon around the Earth is the reason for the changing phases of the moon. We see the moon in full when it is located on the opposite side of the Earth relative to the sun. And we don't see it at all when it is on the side of Earth between us and the sun. There is a period of about 2 days when the moon is completely invisible, about a day before and a day after the moment called the molad, when the moon is at the point of its cycle right between the Earth and the sun. After that, the moon is visible at the start of the month only in the evening, just after the sun goes down. Each month should begin on the evening when the moon is first visible. Details about this in the coming 2 prakim. That is day 1, and the month continues until day 29. If the new moon of the next month is visible on the night after day 29, that is, the beginning of day 30, then this is the first day of the next month, and the previous month is 29 days. If the new moon isn't visible that night, then the previous month is 30 days, and the next month starts on day 31. This is true even if the moon isn't visible on the night of day 31 for whatever reason, because a month can only be 29 or 30 days long. Halacha Dalid introduces some terminology relating to this procedure. A month with 29 days is called chaser, and a month with 30 days is called male or meubar, similar to the year with a 13th month, which is called meuberet. When the moon is visible on the night of the 30th, that is, the night following the 29th day, this is called a moon which is seen in its proper time, ni'ah bizmano. If the moon is only visible starting the following night, this is called a moon which is seen on the night of its fullness, ni'ah bilel iburo. The terminology of proper time, ni'ah bizmano, seems to suggest that we expect witnesses to see the moon on the night of the 30th, at the end of 29 days. This clearly can't be true of all months, because the lunar cycle is about 29 and a half days, but we'll learn the sense in which it is true in Halacha Vav. Halacha Hei, Ein ri'iyat hayarech misura l'chol adam kamo Shabbat bereshit shakol echad moneh shisha v'shovet bashvi'i, ela leveit din hadavar masur, עד שיקדשוהו בית דין ויקבעו אותו היום ראש חודש, הוא שיהיה ראש חודש. שנאמר, החודש הזה לכם, עדות זו תהיה מסורה לכם. Unlike Shabbat, which everyone can identify with certainty by counting 7 days from the previous Shabbat, the beginning of the new month is not determined by each individual when he sees the new moon. The task of sanctifying and establishing the new month is given to Beit Din, and we'll learn more in Perek Hey about exactly what kind of Beit Din. This is learned from the pasuk of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, which was told in Mitzrayim to Moshe and Aaron, who were the spiritual leaders of the nation, and whose position in subsequent generations is occupied by Beit Din. The Beit Din would carry out this task by hearing testimony from witnesses, Edim, as the next halacha explains. Beit Din mechashvin becheshbonot kederech shemechashvin ha'itzdagninin sheyodim mekomot ha'kochavim u'mahalacham v'chokrin u'medaktekin ad sheyedu im efshar sheyireh ha'yorech bizmano shehu leil shloshim o ein efshar im yadu sheefshar sheyireh yoshvin u'metzapin la'idim kol ha'yom kulo shehu yom shloshim im ba'u edim udrashum mechakarum kalacha v'nemnu divrehem mekadshin oto ואם לא נראה ולא באו עדים, משלימין 30, ויהיה חודש מעובר. ואם ידעו בחשבון שאין אפשר שיראה, אין יושבים יום 30, ואין מצפין לעדים. ואם באו עדים, יוודא בוודאי שאין עדי שקר, או שנראית להם דמות לבנה מן האבים, ואינה הלבנה הוודאית. According to the Rambam, Beit Din would not convene during the 30th day of every month to await the arrival of Edim. They knew how to determine, using astronomical calculations, if it is even possible at the end of a given month to see the moon on the night of the 30th, and only if this was indeed possible would they convene the following day. If Edim came, Beit Din would question them properly to establish whether they really saw the moon, more details of the cross-examination in the next perek. And if Beit Din are satisfied that the testimony is reliable, then they sanctify that day as Rosh Chodesh. If the Edim's testimony is found to be problematic, or if no Edim arrive by nightfall, then the previous month is Maleh, and the next day, day 31, is Rosh Chodesh. But if the Beit Din knew from their calculations that the moon could not be seen on the night of the 30th, then they wouldn't bother convening at all. Even if Edim were to come and testify that they saw the moon, they are either mistaken or lying. This may explain why we use the terminology of nir'a bizmano in halacha dalid to refer to a situation when the moon is seen on the night of the 30th. Whenever Beit Din convenes on day 30, it is because they know that the moon was indeed visible the previous night, and so the expectation is that Edim will arrive during the day to report that they saw it. The idea that Beit Din was proficient in astronomy and knew in advance, each month, whether the moon would be visible on the night of the 30th is a chiddush of the Rambam. There is no explicit Gemara which says this, nor do other Rishonim suggest it. In Halacha Zayin, the Rambam goes further and considers this knowledge on the part of Beit Din to be a part of the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Mitzvat aseh min haTorah al Beit Din sheyechashvu v'yedu im yera'eh hayareach o lo yera'eh. ושידרשו את העדים עד שיקדשו את החודש, וישלחו ויודיעו את שאר העם באיזה יום הוא ראש חודש, כדי שידעו באיזה יום הן המועדות, שנאמר אשר תקראו אותם מקראי קודש, ונאמר ושמרת את החוקה הזאת למועדה. Here, the Rambam formulates the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, which rests upon Beit Din, and it consists of three parts, each expressed in two verbs in this halacha. The first part is sheyechashvu v'yedu, to calculate and thereby know when exactly the moon will begin to be visible at the start of each month. The reason why Prakim Yud Aleph through Yud Tet of these halachot, Hilcho Kiddush HaChodesh, delve into astronomical calculations is to explain exactly what Beit Din need to know, how to determine if the moon will be visible on the night following the 29th day of the month. The second part of the mitzvah is shidrashu et ha'edim ad shiikachu et ha'chodesh, to question the edim until the determination can be made whether to declare today to be Rosh Chodesh based on their testimony, and if so, to then sanctify the month. The third and final part of the mitzvah is yishlechu v'yodiu et sha'ar ha'am, to spread the word and notify the Jewish people about the date of Rosh Chodesh so that they can know when each holiday will take place. Interestingly, the source quoted by the Rambam for this mitzvah, in this halacha, is not the pasuk we saw earlier of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. He quotes two other pasukim instead. One from the list of holidays in Parshat Emor of Tikru Otam Mikra'e Kodesh. You, the Beit Din, must establish these holidays by determining the calendar date. And a pasuk from Parshat Bo referring to keeping Pesach at its proper time, Mo'ada. Halacha Chet. Ein mechashvin v'kov'in chodashim u'marin shanim ela be'eretz Yisrael. Shenamar ki mitzion teitzei Torah u'dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. V'im haya adam gadol b'chokhma v'nismach be'eretz Yisrael v'yatza l'chutz la'aretz v'lo hiniach be'eretz Yisrael k'moto harei ze mechashev v'koveh chodashim u'maber shanim b'chutz la'aretz. V'im nodalo shenasa be'eretz Yisrael adam gadol k'moto ve'ein tzarich lomar gadol m'menu harei ze asur likboa u'laber b'chutz la'aretz v'im avar v'kava v'iber lo asa klum. The perek ends with a statement about the centrality of Eretz Yisrael in the process of Kiddush HaChodesh, and we'll see in perek hey a significant expansion of what the Rambam writes here. Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur Shana must take place in Eretz Yisrael. The only exceptional case is when the greatest Chacham or Chachamim of the generation, who received Smicha in Eretz Yisrael, is located in Chutz La'aretz, and there is no one comparable still in Eretz Yisrael. In this case, Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur Shana may be performed in Chutz La'aretz, and the Yerushalmi in Masechet Sanhedrin brings the historical examples of Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, and Baruch ben Neriah. However, in such a situation, the moment that the Chacham finds out that there is someone in Eretz Yisrael of equal stature or greater stature than himself, he must cease his activity and yield the authority to the Chacham of Eretz Yisrael. Even b'di'evit, if he continues to do Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur Shana despite this, there is no validity to his actions.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.